This is the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. I don't remember how to make these things.
We forgot how to do it,
with
everyone.
Kate Rhodes.
And Maysoon Wazwaz.
It's been a while. Oh, sound effects. Year two is all about sound effects. While we were gone, I went ahead and hosted an artist name spelling bee that Maysoon set me up with. Over there at Root Division, Maysoon and I and a few other people came up with some artist names. And I gotta tell you, Maysoon, I think we stacked it way too high on the hard side. We only made it through two rounds.
Really hard to believe, because when I looked at that list, I was kind of like, is this too easy? I mean, Frida Kahlo,
Somebody didn't spell, I won't say who.
Well, yeah.
Frida Kahlo was the first one to eliminate.
And the thing is like, you look at that, you look at the name, you're like, of course I know how to spell it. But then you're like, wait a second, is it K-A-H? Is it K-A-J? Oh, shit. Is it K-A-J-L-O-H? What happened? All of a sudden, I forgot. You know what I mean?
That's like totally.
That's the funny thing about the quote-unquote easy names, is that you're all of a sudden
George
like,
George O'Keefe, man. George O'Keefe eliminated somebody.
Really?
Double F. I didn't know about the fucking double F.
I totally didn't either. I was like, what? K-E-E-F-E? What's the big deal?
Exactly. Holy shit.
Holy bajolies.
Yeah, dude. So anyhow, there were 96 artists on that list. I got pictures, birth dates, and birth countries for every one of them.
Awesome.
I probably spent 8 hours on that.
Bro, maybe we should do round two.
No, we got to do it again because...
That's what I'm saying.
I think, yeah, totally.
Where should we do it? Should we do it at some other...
Wherever, a bar. I don't give a shit.
Let's do it at a bar.
I can put my sparkly top on again. Okay. Anyhow, if you want to spell some words, just come on by and I'll host a little one-person spelling bee for you. Do you want to give somebody the deep down, though?
What if we did it with being so vague and not specific?
I feel like
all?
The person who is involved might understand exactly what we are talking about and not enjoy it.
But can't we talk about it in really vague terms? Like, artists, have you ever experienced an institution trying to censor your work?
Andrea Fraser says that in America, because we're not in a totalitarian, crazy dictatorship, mm-hmm. that the most.
Wait a second, we're not?
Well, I guess that's a matter of, I think it's pretty clear if you ever, but anyhow, point is, most of the censorship that we have in our art world here is self-censorship.
Censorship happens, and it just happened here in this area. It happens. But I think much more pervasive and much more pernicious and much more effective than the external censorship of artists by politicians or by museum officials or curators are forms of self-censorship that sort of kicks in anticipation of the loss of funding in defense of aspects of one's position or other kinds of resources that might be lost and so on.
You think
that's the most prevalent? Yeah, because the artist cuts themselves off before it even makes it to anybody else to censor.
In what way? What do you mean?
Maybe you just feel pressured because you think it's going to fuck up your career.
If you make a very bold statement.
If you go really crazy.
If you go really crazy. If you go in the direction that isn't generally
accepted.
Yeah.
If you don't toe the company line.
Do you feel like you've done that in your work? Really, because you're like, no one can handle this. I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the foot if I put this out there.
No, but I'm also kind of a pansy. I don't know. I think there's been work of mine where I'm like, oh man, this is going to ruffle some feathers. And then no one gives a shit.
Everyone's like, that was cool.
Yeah, everyone's like, that's hilarious. But I don't think I've ever stopped myself from anything.
So maybe, if you're a pansy.
Yeah.
If that's self-proclaimed pansy and mm-hmm. you don't censor yourself, even though you think it might ruffle some feathers, maybe artists don't really self-censor that much. I'm not an artist, but I tend to think they don't.
I'm going to put a link. I know Who's exactly they? The, I'm going to put a link to the,
Fraser?
There's a panel discussion that Andrea Fraser, Richard Meyer, all these people, it was on censorship in the museum. They talked about Mapplethorpe.
Oh, yeah.
And show that was censored.
God, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think about that part of censorship, like the naked nudity, pornography, whatever.
That's what I
issue.
Always first think of is fisting. That's the number one thing I think of when I think of censorship. Not trying to censor
what
you
kinds
when you're talking
about
censorship.
Are, yeah, substance, what other things come up with when we talk about censorship? So we just talked about censorship in regards to sexuality, let's say.
Well, I feel like there's been a lot of conversations lately, maybe not solely in the art world, but about political correctness and how, like, Jerry Seinfeld just had this big thing about
you
how...
You love Jerry Seinfeld.
I don't.
I can't believe it.
No, I don't.
Can we make sure to put a little like Seinfeld clip in there? I couldn't remember it, but as soon as you started, I did. Okay, anyhow, go ahead. Jerry Seinfeld.
It's just been saying that like political correctness is ruining comedy and all this shit, which is like all shit. Oh, you nodded. Let it be known on the record that Mason nodded to that. I think that it's easy for like, first off, do you know that Jerry Seinfeld is the richest actor alive?
He's
worth
find that very surprising.
$800 million. He's worth more than Tom Cruise.
Is that all because of Seinfeld, or is he like a major producer?
Mainly
on?
Because of Seinfeld. They had great fucking contracts for the syndication and all the royalties and all that shit for that show.
I don't know. I mean, you think about people like Dave Chappelle, and I just feel like he's not necessarily PC. You know, like he uses the N-word and words that I would
yeah,
be like
okay.
mortified.
But I feel like it's more, I feel like this is like the straw man argument that we put up when we're like thinking of this imagined PC police is like, you can't talk about race, period. Right. But really, I think for most people that do care about like using whatever, people that you would consider politically correct or whatever, it's not about what you say or the topics you're bringing up. It's like, are you continuing like the like paradigm? Like the, are you continuing the oppression through what you're saying? Are you like just basically like following stereotypes?
Oh, yeah, no.
Or are you using these words and bringing up these topics in a way that's
them.
Making fun of the oppressor?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, are you punching
and
down?
Criticize.
And like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I feel like that's still going. Like, people are allowed to talk about race, gender, whatever.
Of course.
And no one, people aren't going to go blast off with a bunch of op-eds about it unless you're like Kramer. Remember Michael Richards when he had that huge rant where he was like screaming the N-word and like, this was back in 2006.
I don't remember this.
And he basically, he didn't do stand-up again after that because, you know, fucking the audience got up and left because he, you know, was screaming racial slurs at some young black guys in the audience.
Oh, he was attacking people.
Yeah,
verbally.
Exactly. And Seinfeld went on David
really?
Letterman. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure all the listeners remember this. It was huge news at the time. And anyhow, Jerry Seinfeld went on Letterman and had Kramer, Michael Richards, come on a satellite link and apologize on TV to fucking... You know, just like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I made a mistake, you know. And then now Jerry Seinfeld is being like, apology culture is ruining America. It's ruining comedy. Like, comedians can't play colleges anymore because college students are too sensitive and shit like that. When it's not, they're too sensitive. Like, it's just Archie Bunker and that kind of fucking bullshit comedy where you're just a 60-year-old white man talking about how fucked up minorities are isn't funny anymore because people actually understand that, like, yeah. Other people are people, even if they're not white and male and cisgendered and able-bodied and blah, blah, blah. This doesn't have a lot to do with art, though. I feel like art, it's a lot, there's a lot blurrier line.
I mean, I think art is, comedy is art. I mean, it's...
Oh,
it's
yeah, totally.
Certainly related.
Yeah. Well, like back at the Whitney Biennial, the last Whitney Biennial, they had that guy, Wilford Brimley or whatever his name was, who like was a white man artist who invented a black woman yeah. artist. And then
that was really confusing to me. I was like, I don't understand. It feels really awkward and awful to me. I was like, I don't understand. I don't know enough about what he's doing. It seems wrong.
Yeah, and then that group Yams,
yeah.
the collective, ended up boycotting
yeah,
and pulling out
left.
Of the show, right?
Yeah, but I would assume, you know, Yams would have been able to like have that conversation and make a, you know, like it doesn't seem like they would have responded that dramatically
if was any merit to his,
you know
work
what I mean, like
that way.
Yeah. That's my thinking on it.
Well, let's put a link to that in the underworld. I wonder if this will actually get anybody to call into the show. I feel like this is a very hot button issue. Call in. 419-351-6606. You can also text that number. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email in congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Good job. That came back quick.
Do you never have times where somebody's like, oh, hang on, let me summon an Uber? And like in your deepest heart, you're like, fuck Uber.
Oh, but I say that out loud. Quickly, usually.
Right.
In fact, I'm like, why don't we just call a cab?
Okay, well then maybe I do a lot of self-censorship. I think maybe I'm just evil.
You're just an
asshole. Have to, yeah, exactly. And I have to put a lot of gloss over that.
You're not evil.
I might be evil.
There was just like, you know, Pride Weekend just happened.
Yep.
Go Pride.
I'm not into it.
Well, I mean, so Pride, it's funny because there are all these articles on Facebook or posts on Facebook about how, you know, all the tech companies basically bought Pride, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is Pride has been sponsored by major corporations forever, for the longest time. And that there's been huge, I mean, since I moved here 15 years ago, and there are huge protests against Pride for that reason, for those reasons. It's sort of like, not that I think people should still be upset about it. You know,
oh, sure.
Tech companies co-opting, I guess.
Pinkwashing.
Tech companies pinkwashing.
Yeah.
It's just, the whole thing is weird. Just seeing all the, like, those companies, they produce, like, so many, all this, like, paraphernalia, like, wristbands and hats and glasses and t-shirts and this and that for this one day weekend. It's like, that's not, showing up for a parade is, like, not enough. You know what I mean?
Oh, to make you actually supporting, like, LGBT rights?
It's just like, it so feels so flippant to me. It's like, oh, here's my little, we're just going to join this parade. And I don't know, I just can't. No,
I don't think any like multinational corporation has anyone's actual like liberation in mind.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So why don't you like Pride?
It's just all the straight people.
That's the other
thing.
It's
like nothing but straight people.
The city gets like flooded with people who are just out for a fucking
just
party.
Just in a rainbow tutu, like making out with their boyfriend. I saw some guys like walking to.
Did you feel like you wanted to censor them?
I did want to censor them. I want to do a documentary about all the straight people that go to San Francisco Pride. And then I want to show it at Frameline.
Start talking all sorts of crazy shit. Like they're the ones who closed down the Castor Halloween party.
What's that? Can you tell me the history?
The Castor used to have like a huge, huge Halloween party, which was on the, just like a big...
Like out in the street, like
street
Folsom
party,
Street Fair.
Super fun. Everyone's having a good time. But then all these like... Beefnecks from Walnut Creek would
be beefnecks. I love when you call them beefnecks.
And they'd get trashed and they would basically beat people up in the streets where the Castor became like violent and unsafe for people there just trying to have a good time celebrating Halloween. So the Castro's Halloween party had to be closed down because it actually was not safe.
Wow.
So it's like an excuse, you know, like I feel like there's a real common like this riot situation. It's like the white people rioting over baseball games and Halloween
and
parties in the
festivals.
Street and just drinking too much and being a douchebag, you know?
Oh yeah. So now that we've been doing this show for a year, every once in a while, we get some weird little emails from people. And we got one like a month ago from this woman who is in Wales, who works at an art place there.
That's Wales, everyone.
That's Wales. That's part of the United Kingdom. It's connected to England.
Yes, it is.
It's not an island like Ireland.
Nope. Or England.
I'm American. And anyhow... I was really excited because I've never met a Welsh person before, but she wasn't really Welsh. She's from England.
She's English,
she just lives in Cardiff, Wales. She was very interested in the Bay Area. And I kind of asked her why she was here. And she said that because in the UK, their art funding is getting cut because they have a crazy ass conservative government. Mm. She came over here to see how artists and art organizations do shit without any fucking government funding. How do people do it, Mason? I was really wishing you were there because I felt like you would have had way better insight for the like organization membership status.
Fundraisers?
Yep. Corporate sponsorship?
Not so much.
Making deals with the devil?
Yeah. Selling your first baby.
Rich people?
Yeah. Donors, you know, mm-hmm. private donors, individual donors, like a artist membership base or membership, like affordable members and stuff. Affordable
weird membership. Tricks. Weird, playing weird tricks on artists.
Donation boxes. Money at the bar to pay for your drinks.
Yep. Don't pay any of the staff.
Don't pay the staff.
Hardly pay any of the staff.
Barely pay the artists.
Don't pay the artists.
Pay the artist $25 for just good feelings.
Yep.
Just that's kidding.
That's how you do it.
You
it's
know,
like 99% volunteer run.
The people who run these nonprofits are working their fucking asses off.
Yeah.
They are literally blood, sweat, and tears.
They have a 40-year lifespan.
Just so it kind of seems that way. It's really
until you
intense.
Have to leave or until you die.
One or the other. Whichever comes first.
We're sorry, guys. Not to be so bleak.
No, but they know. They'll laugh at it. They'll laugh. They're laughing. They're all laughing because they know it's true. We all, I mean, and we salute you, honest to God. I really do.
Yeah.
All the artists I know salute them too.
Salute.
But it's fucking hard. It's not easy. There are some government grants that
stop
these
your
places
fucking
apply
government.
For.
I mean, fuck.
What are you saying?
I mean, why is the solution never like change the situation?
Yeah,
like it's always like, how can we deal with this horrible, shitty situation? Like, why can't we ever like let's swim upstream a little, you know, and get the fucking change, make it not shitty. Get those assholes out of the fucking government. First off, in the UK, they got to get that whole weird House of Lords thing out of there.
Well, but that has been happening a little bit here. I mean, I was just reading about Arts for a Better Bay Area and the work that they did to
ABBA
to get the city or the mayor to approve, you know, a good chunk of money filtering into the city arts funding groups, Arts Commission and Grants for the Arts.
We should have them on
and
the
that,
show.
I mean, that was truly from a group of individuals like working their ass off and, you know, trying to lobby the city.
We should have them on the show.
I know. What's interesting is that the two people who started that,
Lex and
Ebony, are both now working for the city. So, but I don't think that that's a problem. I think it's actually great because they're both incredible people who should be advocating for arts and artists and nonprofits, and they're good people to have on that team. But I just wonder what happens, like what the next, there's actually a meeting coming up. I should have prepared that.
Let's go.
ABBA's having a meeting. I believe it's July 7th. I could be wrong. I will post it. I've already signed up for it.
Oh, great.
To kind of talk about
we'll
like next steps. And
can we post a link to that in the underworld
for this
episode?
Let's do it.
Someone else we got to have on the show, too, would be Spike from the Pacific Felt Factory. You know, I saw her also at Root Division the other night. And
Sure
enough, I do not think that she appreciated me insinuating that she might be a reptilian shapeshifter on the episode where we talked.
Did you talk to her?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, well, yeah. They've emailed in and I talked to her, too. I really want to have her on the show.
Yeah, we'll just have her on the show. Spike, we love you.
Come on the show. Oh, this is a good way though to get people on the show
by insulting them first.
Shit,
that you know we don't mean
look
to.
It was a
I
thought experiment
you.
I didn't say outright that anyone was a reptilian shapeshifter.
What other thought experiments do you have?
Got a lot of thought experiments.
I like
on
that
this show
phrase a lot,
but point is, come on the show, I'll eat my hat. Maysoon, I remembered the segment that I... Don't get too excited. It's a sad segment.
Boo, bullshit. Fuck that shit.
Eulogies. Edit that out. Not eulogies. Elegies? Uh-huh. Epigrams?
Epitaphs?
No, that's too dark.
Elegy?
Something, a segment for eulogy? Commemorating all the people that are leaving.
Not dying, but just leaving?
Yes. A lot of people are about to leave. Jaime Cortez is leaving.
Oh, God. That almost made me cry, actually.
Me too.
Who else is leaving?
Amanda Carrere is about to leave. Oh, Aurora Crispin is leaving tomorrow.
Aurora. I didn't see her. God, I feel
Daisy
bad.
Wong is leaving.
Llewellyn Fletcher is leaving with Amanda.
Yeah. Who else? I feel like shit tons. I feel like every day somebody on Facebook is like, well, bye, Bay Area.
I'm going to go to the middle of the country and just spin wool all day. Fuck yeah. Do it. That's what I want
to
do.
Okay, well, anyhow, to all the people that are leaving the Bay Area, I wish this to you. When you get to where you're going, find somebody who's sick of being there and send them here if they're cool.
Aw.
Right? And somehow set them up with your old place that's still at the same rent you were paying.
Yeah, right. I kind of just want to say, can you just come back in a couple of years?
Yeah, just come on back.
Can you just go do what you're doing? It's cool.
Get that line on your sieve.
2 years, 2 years
then
max.
You can come back and be the director of one of these fucking dog and pony shows.
Yeah, or just like, you know, get your shit in the museum and go to town.
I was saying that we should have like an official exchange program, you know?
What
it's like Jaime is going to Boston, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody in Boston would love to come to sunny
Boston.
California.
Yeah.
Right? They should set that up before
you move. I can't believe
move.
Jaime's leaving. It just seems crazy.
Well,
he's
good news.
He's such a fixture.
Though, remember the big hoopla with the Pigeon Palace?
Yes.
With Chris Carlson and Keith Hennessy and all those? They worked it out.
I know.
Let's post a link to that. That's
some
positive news.
We're going to... We're going to hopefully interview someone from that building at some point soon.
If people have suggestions of guests that you'd like us to have on the show, have we ever asked for that?
No.
We might disregard them completely, but go ahead and
go
send
ahead
them
and
in.
Try.
Give it a shot.
You could try to catch our ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to have Guillermo Gomez Pena on.
Let's do it.
He's so cool.
He's doing a performance for Art Practical soon.
Yes.
Called Synergy.
Speaking of which, Art Practical, shout out to them. They shouted
hey
out to
now.
Us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That was awesome. Thank you, Art Practical. P.S. Everybody, Art Practical is doing some fundraising. You should donate to them.
Yeah, they're
what
awesome.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Wait, there's another Royal Nonsuches also has an Indiegogo.
Oh, they just have a few days left on that. I hope there's still time when this episode goes up to donate, because they're doing a great one this time. There's mixed tapes by all the Bay Area artists that you're into.
Yeah.
Stairwells has one. Yeah. Bonanza. Jackie M and Aaron Harbor, I think, did one. Who else?
Know.
Amanda Curry's got something going on there.
That's a great
tons of great awesome people who probably have some real eclectic musical tastes.
We'll put a link down in the underworld for you.
Yep.
They're a great organization to support. I really want you to go out there and support them too.
Couldn't agree more. Dana Hemingway is now one of their people.
Dana Hemingway's now a co-director.
Do you think she's going to ask me to gallery sit? To disavow all my work just to be like, fuck you if you try to auction this shit for $1,000,000,000. You know what I mean? I think you could use that as a tool
to make yourself more famous.
How's it gonna make you more famous?
Because you're being a fucking diva. To disavow or disown a work seems really extreme to me. I'm like, wow, really? Does that happen? Can you do that? Really?
What was that law again?
It's called the Visual Arts Rights Act. Artists can disavow a work if it has been damaged or changed.
Cool.
Visual Arts
Would
Rights
that
Act
count as like, what if it got
yeah.
bought by someone you hate? Could that count as damaging
that's
it?
That's basically damage.
That's on the provenance
that's,
records
that's
for the rest
sort
of its
psychological
life.
Damage.
Could you count that? I don't think so. Ruth Bader Ginsburg would sign off on that. That's interesting, though.
I know. I want to look into that act.
I want to find more artists that have disowned
their work.
Because don't you think that if an artist made some work that thematically or however no longer fit with their ideology?
Know, this happened at SOEX.
Go on.
Well, it wasn't as big of a deal. It's funny because so Southern Exposure has this fundraising event called the Monster Drawing Rally. It's a live drawing event. And every year.
And it's coming up.
It's coming up in July.
It's on the 11th?
I don't remember.
I think it's on the 11th.
I have a postcard.
I'm drawing.
Let me finish.
Come hold my hand.
Kate's going to be sweating buckets just like last year.
Yep.
So anyhow, every year they have 100 artists drawing throughout the night. The work goes on the wall. It's for sale immediately. There's also a wall of past year's drawings that are like deep discounted, like $30, $20, whatever. And one year we had an artist call in, or not call in, an artist called in basically and said, I don't want you to sell any of the work that I made from the past couple of years. Like she had gotten wind that someone bought an old work and she was kind of mortified and like.
Because she just hated it.
She hated it. She didn't feel like it was the direction she wanted to be. Direction she wanted to go in. She
I could
wanna,
totally understand that.
She didn't
want to
put it out there as like this is the work that I do.
Yeah.
And so I think I can't remember if we like pulled all of it and gave it back to her. Just like okay, great.
You were
just
like, take fuck it. Take it. But that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's a totally
because I bet legally you had all the rights to have that because you sign a whole thing probably. To say that like here's this for you, Southern Exposure.
Yeah, but why
you don't want to burn
humiliate
bridges.
An artist yeah. or whatever just for the sake of making $30? It's like right. it's just absolutely not worth it.
Totally.
However, a million.
That's
and
pretty
a half,
nice though to just
I don't
go
know.
For. Yep.
I'll be like, tough luck. That's our money.
We only have 34 more years left to do this podcast.
Years? What? What do you mean?
I only. My goal was to do it for as long as Car Talk was on.
Oh.
35 years is how long they were on.
Maybe we should have a Car Talk segment where we don't talk about cars at all.
Which is basically what they did. Anyhow.
Congratulations.
You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. I hope you're easing back into it like we are. We're just gingerly dipping our toes into our, doing our ankle exercises.
Dipping our toes into a nice ice cold glass of water.